Brother Russ will be directing that song in just a minute, or maybe more than a minute. 325, 325. I am resolved. This is a condensed version of a lesson that Brother Don Truex taught in Tampa, Florida, that I thought on it would have some thoughts that was, well, they were very helpful to me, and I thought would be helpful to us tonight in this short invitation. Talking about inbounds and out of bounds, about God's boundaries. You know, whether it's sports or business or politics, there are boundaries. And in sports, you know, you're either inbounds or you're out of bounds. Football team has the boundaries on each side. You know, the feet got to be in when you catch the ball. Otherwise, you're out of bounds. It's very definite and defined. In our country, if you cross the border from America to Canada, you have crossed the border from America to Canada. You're in another country. It's very clear. So there's boundaries. And tonight, I want to talk briefly about a man who made a run for the border. And I don't mean necessarily Taco Bell, the old commercial. But he made a run for the border, and he died because of it. Not thinking that he could ignore the boundaries. While I'm going through this briefly, please be thinking, we're going to be turning in just a moment to 2 Samuel 16, if you'd like to turn there, 2 Samuel 16. Be thinking about the reason, why did the Holy Spirit include this encounter? What is the message there for us? In 2 Samuel 16, David is king. His son Absalom is chasing him out of Jerusalem. His son Absalom has, in effect, created a coup and taken over the kingdom. David is fleeing with his mighty men. He comes into contact with a gentleman named Shimei, the tribe of Benjamin and son of Gera. He's angry with David. He thinks that David has usurped the rightful heir to the throne of the descendants of Saul. So he's mad at David. He thinks that David has kicked or replaced King Saul's family out of the throne of the Jews. In verse 5 we read, "Now when King David came to Bahurim, there was a man from the family of the house of Saul whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera, coming from there. He came out cursing continuously as he came. And he threw stones at David and at all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. Also Shimei said thus when he cursed, 'Come out, you bloodthirsty man, you rogue. The Lord has brought upon you all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose place you have reigned, and the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom your son. So now you are caught in your own evil because you are a bloodthirsty man.'" He's cursing. He's cursing the anointed of God. He's throwing stones at David and his mighty men, verse 6. Calling him a murderous rogue, he comes at him thinking that he has usurped the throne of Saul, the house of Saul. Now, David's mighty men are on each side. They're hearing all this. The stones are being thrown in their directions as well. And you know they're not going to take this. We know enough about David's mighty men that, you know, they don't discuss things. They act. And so what does Abishai, one of his mighty men, say to David? "Let me go cut off his head." David stops him. David says, "No, no, don't do that." Verse 10, David says, "So let him curse, because the Lord has said to him, 'Curse David.' Who then shall say, 'Why have you done so?'" So David is saying, there's something here I need to hear. Don't stop him. Don't stop him. So he lets him live. Now this continues, but David lets Shimei live. Flip over to 2 Kings sometime in the future from this period. 2 Kings chapter 2 in verses 36, excuse me, 1 Kings chapter 2. That makes a big difference. Verse 36. David has since died, but before he died, he left instructions to Solomon to kind of take care of business. And he even mentioned Shimei to him. So now Solomon has called Shimei here in 1 Kings, the second chapter, and has told him to go ahead and build a house in Jerusalem. You know, not Jericho, not up in Galilee, build a house in Jerusalem. And he said, don't cross the brook Kidron. Don't cross the brook Kidron. We've been very fortunate here in that Leon has brought us many pictures. Some of us have even seen it in person, but it brought us many pictures of where the brook Kidron is. I would imagine if we put up a picture and you saw the wall of Jerusalem and you saw that little indentation at the base of the wall, you'd say, yeah, there's the brook Kidron. I mean, we, most of us can identify it now because of the work that Leon has done. It's everybody knew where the brook Kidron was. It was not fuzzy. It wasn't ambiguous. It was clear. Don't cross the brook Kidron, because there was a consequence. There was a consequence. He says in verse 37, for it shall be on the day you go out and cross the brook Kidron, know for certain, you shall surely die. Your blood shall be on your own head. Verse 38, and Shimei said to the king, the saying is good, and my lord the king has said, so your servant will do. So Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. Did Shimei understand the instructions? Yeah, he understood them. Said it sounded good to him. He gets to live out of the deal, so I think it is sounding pretty good to him. He has to stay in Jerusalem. Don't go cross the brook Kidron. Don't cross that boundary. Well, there's more. There's more. Shimei, after a period of about 3 years, hears that his slaves have run off to Gaza, in the area towards the Philistines. And Gaza is famous for the hometown of Goliath. So his slaves have run off there. Shimei hears about it. He goes out, leaves Jerusalem, crosses the Kidron, goes to Gaza, gets his slaves, comes back. Well, Shimei breaks the rules. Shimei could have sent somebody else. But instead, he went and disregarded the king's orders after that three-year period. In verse 42, then the king sent and called for Shimei and said to him, did I not make you swear by the Lord and warn you, saying, know for certain that on the day you go out and travel anywhere, you shall surely die? And you said to me, the word I have heard is good. Why then have you not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I gave you? The king moreover said to Shimei, you know, as your heart acknowledges, all the wickedness that you did to my father David. Therefore the Lord will return your wickedness on your own head. But King Solomon shall be blessed. The throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. So the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he went out and struck him down, and he died. Thus the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. Shimei crossed the border. He crossed the boundary. He left Jerusalem. He crossed Kidron. He went to Gaza. Sure, he came back, but he crossed the boundary. Something very clear, non-negotiable. He knew ahead of time. Solomon was specific. There's a couple of points I'd like to make briefly. One, we are Shimei. I am Shimei. You all are Shimei. We have crossed the boundaries of God, and he has graciously allowed us to live. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None are righteous, no, not one. The soul that sins shall die. Very clear. Sin is transgression of the law, crossing that boundary. All of us have done it multiple times, deserving of death. But yet our God, through his amazing grace and mercy, has allowed us to live. Solomon was specific. Shimei ignored that. There was no room for misinterpretation. He knew where the boundary was. So do you and I. We know where the boundary is. We have been saved by his grace. God says, I will let you live, but you must also live within my boundaries. We need to stay in the doctrine of Christ. 1 John chapter 1 talks about walking in the light, then we can be saved by his blood, have the remission of our sins. God says, by my grace you can live, but you must honor my boundaries. God has boundaries for marriage. He has boundaries for the church of how we're supposed to worship him. God is clear. He tells us where the lines are. He tells us where the boundaries are. So the first thing, again, is that we're Shimei. And we have been so blessed by God's grace to live. And we must live within his boundaries. Second point. Over time, it can become tempting for you and for me, to forget and take liberties with those boundaries. Do you remember when Jesus was confronted by the devil in the wilderness in Luke chapter 4, at the end of that confrontation, it says that the devil left Jesus for an opportune time. An opportune time. Some other later opportunity. We will constantly be tested by Satan. We will be constantly tempted to go beyond God's boundaries by Satan. He will look for an opportune time. Some things that Satan says to us that to try to convince us otherwise, it's just one time. What's it going to hurt? Or in Shimei's case, that's my property. That's valuable. You know, I'm not trying to commit insurrection. I'm trying to get my slaves back. In his mind, he had a good reason to disregard the boundaries. Satan will always dangle something before us just across the boundary. He'll always dangle something, some reason, some justification, something that might make us think, well, it's okay. You know, you've been faithful for so long. How many church services do you have to go to? It's not like you are going to stay there forever. Just go get the slaves and come back. Surely Solomon will understand this one time. Does any of this sound familiar? You remember Uzzah reaches out to steady the ark? It was a good work. It was a thing to help steady the ark. But it crossed God's boundaries and he died. Lot's wife, told not to turn around, she turned around. What was she looking? What was she thinking about it? She turned around to see if her kids made it, turned around to see if her house was okay, if her friends made it. You know, what was she thinking? It'll be okay for me to just turn one time. You know, God didn't really mean that I would die if I turned around, even though he specifically said that. It'll be okay just one time. Any of this sound familiar? Satan always makes disobedience sound like a good thing. You know I fudged the truth on that application a little bit, but how was I going to get the job? If I let them get away with this, they'll walk all over me. So it's okay for me to get in their face and maybe say a few things I shouldn't have said. After all, I don't want to be a doormat. I just wanted to be happy. I have been so unhappy in this marriage for so long. I just wanted to be happy for a while. Well, you know, I've been so down. Pressures at work, school, been so down. I just needed that drug, drink, gambling, whatever it is. Fill in the blank. They all sound so good, but they all take us over the border. They take us over the boundary that God has set, clearly set. What did Paul say? Should I sin so that grace may abound? Heaven forbid. The Hebrew writer in chapter 10, verse 26, for if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer is a sacrifice for our sins. There is no good reason to cross the boundary. Third and final point. Though merciful, God means what he says. Though he's merciful, he means what he says. See, you and I want everything fair. It has to be fair. He was just getting his slaves. No, God was clear. What if God made an exception? Okay, if your mom gets sick, you can go back home. Okay, family has a wedding, you can go back home. Okay, everybody needs a vacation, you can go back and cross the Kidron then. What if Solomon handled that way? Would that have been fair? The boundary would have meant nothing. Solomon did not say any of that. He said clearly, don't cross the Kidron. We don't get to play fast and loose with God's boundaries. There are some lines we are not going to cross in this church. And I thank God for our elders. I thank God for all those who have taught from this pulpit and from this podium that we're not going to cross God's borders or boundaries. You're never going to hear someone tell you in this church that command, example, or inference are optional. You're never going to hear someone tell you in this church that baptism is not for the remission of sins. We will never say every person that says they love Jesus is saved. Even though that Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, why is this story about Shimei there in Scripture? I believe it's to remind us that even though we are sinners, God lets us live. But we must live by His rules. Because He's God. And He has the right to make the rules. Matthew 16:16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be lost. If there's any here who are subject to the gospel's call, would you come now, please stand and sing. Amen.